The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. If you have a Jewish question of any kind whatsoever, related to Israel today, related to interpretation of the Hebrew Scriptures, related to Jewish tradition and Jewish religion, related to Messianic prophecy, if you're a Jewish person and you differ with me about Jesus, Yeshua, being our Messiah, phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. That is the number to call. Again, you may just want to pick my brain on something. Maybe you've heard something, trying to verify whether it's true or not, or you may have a bone to pick with me. Either way, glad to hear from you. Okay, I was sent an episode from the Chosen series to look at and to get some feedback. I want to do this in a God-honoring way and with great appreciation to Dallas Jenkins and the creator of The Chosen and the team that's putting this together, because I feel very sure that many people are watching this that are not reading the Bible, and many people are becoming interested in Jesus through this. And I imagine that the creators and producers and screenwriters and actors and others have gotten many reports from many people who are becoming open to the gospel, or who now want to read the Bible or find out more about this Jesus, Yeshua. So I am really appreciative of the hard work, of the excellence, of the standard that's being set. These things are not easily done, the funding that has to go into it. I say all this with real appreciation, but with a desire to explore something together constructively. So I'm not here as a critic. I'm not here throwing stones. I'm not here nitpicking. I recognize that in an average episode, the few that I've watched, so there's much to watch. I've only watched a few. So I'm not making a general statement about The Chosen except appreciation for what's being done. But I understand in an episode, an hour, however long it is, that probably 98-99% of the dialogue is not in the Bible, right? There may be a biblical theme, but they're creatively coming up with all kinds of other things. They're filling out the characters, and Simon Peter was like this, and James was this, and Judas was this, and adding in extra stories and things. So we understand that tons is being added that's not in the Bible. We understand that out of the gate. And therefore, Jesus in the series is teaching and saying things that he never said as recorded in the Bible. We understand that. And there are dialogues taking place with the disciples that are not recorded in the Bible, that are just someone's creative imagination. All good. I understand that. That's the nature of it. If you watched, say, the Jesus movie or some other movies that have been put out, there are some that base themselves exclusively on Scripture, and that's what the movie is. It is the Gospel of Luke, say, act it out. That's what it is, and that's how it works. So this is not that. And I understand that. The question is it a good idea to write one's theology as you understand Scripture onto Jesus and put what you understand Scripture saying elsewhere or scriptural principles on his lips if it's contrary to what is written in the Gospels, or adding something significant that's not there? So here's the scene. Earlier in the episode, Jesus is telling his disciples he's going to send them out two by two to heal the sick. And it's done very creatively, like, what? What do you mean you gave us the authority? We don't feel any different. We're novices. We're going to go, what? And in The Chosen, it doesn't even quote everything Jesus said, which was, you know, go preach the kingdom of God is near, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, drive out demons, freely receive, freely give. So he doesn't say all of that. He doesn't say, you know, raise the dead, for example, when he's commissioning them. But I don't know how it played out in real life. This is how it plays out here. All right, so now you have a scene where James, his name would have been Jacob, one of the two Jacobs who are disciples of the Lord, comes to him and he's got a walking stick. Jesus calls him little James. And he says, can I have a moment with you, master? And Jesus said, yes, of course. And he said, right, you know, it's hard for me to speak sometimes. And by the way, I'm not playing any of the clips because I'm sure it's copyrighted. I'm going to play a tiny clip and have a copyright violation or anything like that. So I'm just describing the scene for you, right? So it would just be automatically flagged on YouTube. That's what I mean. Not that the Chosen's after us, but just get automatically flagged. So I'm just describing the scene for you, okay? So Jacob, James, little James, as he's called, with his walking stick, you know, it's a little hard for me to speak sometimes. Jesus encourages him, and he says, you're sending us out to heal, but I'm not healed myself. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? Well, yeah, I do. And Jesus said, well, you know, you will be, meaning in eternity. In the resurrected body, you'll be healed. But he basically says, you're not healed now because I trust you. My father and I trust you. And he says, but Lord, you know, if I could be healed, and Jesus said, yeah, it'd be a wonderful story. And I'm not getting this exact line for line, but general, it'd be a wonderful story. And he says, but Jesus says, look, there are dozens, soon there'll be hundreds, there'll be thousands of wonderful stories. But think of your story. That God's using you to heal the sick, and you yourself are not healed, and yet you continue to praise God in the midst of the trials. And then ultimately, Jesus is making clear you're not going to be healed now, but you go and heal others and rejoice in the midst of it. And ultimately, one day you will be healed. Just hang in until then. So it's really well done. It's a powerfully crafted scene. And then when the music comes in and in the background and the emotion and that James shows, it's very, very well done. And I have no question that it has ministered to a lot of people, that's helped a lot of people who are struggling, who are hurting, and it was a word of comfort to them, a word of encouragement to them. There's nothing wrong with you. This is just I chose not to heal you for a purpose. This is what they're feeling, but it's ministered to them. So my team member that sent me the video to watch also sent me an interview with Dallas Jenkins, the creator of The Chosen, and Nick Voyevich. I checked to make sure I had his name pronounced properly before I said it, and I mispronounced it anyway. But you know, Nick, what an amazing man of God. What an example. We only met once. He was visiting a church where I was preaching, knew the pastor there, so we got to hang out in the back room. What a great brother. What a saint. Human being like everybody else, but what an example. You know what I mean? No hands, no feet. He's got one little flipper foot, but that's basically it. What a testimony. I can't imagine how many people he's ministered to. I'm sure I've reached people, but he's reached a whole lot more, and he's reached them so effectively, and he has a message that's so powerful. I have no question that God has used his testimony to save people from hell, to save people from suicide, to save people from depression, to give them hope, to give them vision, to give them purpose. What an example. I bless him and I honor him. So Dallas Jenkins does an interview with him, hears more of his own story, his own background, and then asks him, what about the scene? So Nick watched it himself. Johnny Erickson Tata watched it and was crying so profusely that she couldn't even see the screen through the tears. Nick got a preview of it before it aired, and he said in his words, I was moved, moved, moved. And he said even the emotion, the way James, but he said, I would have said it the same way. But he said, I thought of what Paul said. You know, I had a thorn in my flesh, and I pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away, and he wouldn't. You know, my grace is sufficient for you. And in the dialogue, Jesus reminds James and the Chosen of what's written in Job. The Lord gave, the Lord took away, may the name of the Lord be praised. So for Nick, it was deeply moving, and he thinks of all those who haven't gotten healed physically, and haven't gotten healed of anxiety or some other emotional or physical disability, and yet they worship God and they praise God, and forever in eternity they'll be healed. So the fact that it ministers the way it does to Johnny Erickson Tata, what a testimony, what an example she has been. The fact that it ministers to Nick Voyevich and the example he's been, I respect that. From the heart, I respect it. If I had been in their shoes, I might have completely crumbled. I might have not made it out of the gate at all. I might have given up and been depressed or tried to find a way to take, but who knows? They are overcomers. They are marvelous, wonderful examples, and I bless them. My question is, was it right to make this scene put aside the theology itself, put it on the words of Jesus, because as Dallas Jenkins recognizes, there's not a single time in the Gospels where Jesus ever refuses to heal. And my wife Nancy watched it and thought it was very powerfully done, but her heart got very saddened because she said, do we want to think that if Jesus was on the earth and there's Johnny maybe laying on the side of the road asking for healing, that Jesus would have said no? No, he would not have. He would have healed her. At that time, let's put theology today, healing, let's put that aside for the moment, but he would have healed her. Everyone that came to him in the Gospels, he healed. There's not a single example of him refusing. Well, the man at the gate, beautiful, and Jesus would have passed it. We don't know the crowds and how close Jesus got to him. All we know is, for sure, that there's never an instance in the Gospel where anyone comes to him for healing and he says no. And he was revealing the Father's heart. Now, we know everyone does not get healed in this world. We understand that. And we all die. We understand that. And many of the saintliest people in the earth are the sickest, and many of the wickedest people are healthy. I understand all that. And we'll talk about that theology a little bit more in a moment. But what grieved her was it presented a different Jesus than the one that was on the earth. You say, yeah, well, anything God ever does and says through history, that's Jesus. I understand, but the Gospels are there for a reason. Let's also remember that Jesus gives his disciples authority, for example, Luke 9:1, over demons and disease. Matthew 10:1, the same. Mark 6:12. He sends them out to heal and to drive out demons. These things go hand in hand in the Gospels because sickness was looked at as a debilitating, negative, destructive condition. The woman in Luke 13 who's crippled and for 18 years is bent over, Jesus says that she was crippled by Satan, crippled by a spirit. So this is looked at as something destructive, disfiguring, contrary to God's design, contrary to God's best, contrary to God's plan, and something that ultimately in eternity will be eradicated. So we understand that everyone is healed in this world. We understand that. But there is a revelation of God's heart concerning healing and his desire to heal and his willingness to heal through Jesus. And it's grievous in that sense to put this theology on Jesus' lips. If you really felt it was important to do, then have some Jewish sages and Jewish wisdom having a conversation with people. Someone can have a dream. But why have Jesus saying no to heal when he never did that on the earth? It's not nitpicking. I honor and respect those involved, but it's burdensome because a lot of people are going to think that's what Jesus did then, and that's not who he was.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH is number to call. I'll be getting to call some great questions already. I'll be getting to your calls shortly, but now's a great time to get in line. I'll be able to get your call within the show. Okay, this month, our great theme has been let's get healthy. Let's get healthy spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. Let's do it. Let's get healthy. And I want to talk to you about an exciting sponsorship, just a company really standing with us saying, let's get the Line of Fire out across the nation as we help people walk in wellness for a purpose. So I'll talk to you about that in a moment. But I thought it'd be a good time while we're talking about let's get healthy to talk about this episode on The Chosen. And a few more reflections, again, with appreciation for the series, with appreciation for those who are being reached, with appreciation for Dallas Jenkins wanting to help people who think, well, everyone just healed all the time, with appreciation for those who have suffered and you haven't been healed, your child died and you prayed, you cried out, your spouse died. I appreciate your faith. I appreciate you honoring God through the valley. I appreciate you saying, I'm going to praise him even when I'm sick. I'm going to praise him even when I'm in pain. I'm going to praise him even when I see this loved one die. If you never listened to Bill Johnson's sermon after leaving his wife, Benny Johnson, Bill Johnson would teach that God's revealed will is that healing is for us and that we can ask him and come for healing that's been provided through the cross. Listen to his sermon after his wife, Benny, died after a long battle for cancer with thousands, probably millions of people praying for her healing. hear his message, which is an example of the very spirit that these brothers are talking about, Dallas Jenkins and Nick, about praising God no matter what and worshiping God no matter what. But a few other thoughts. I would dare say that many of us are sick because of not taking proper care of our bodies. It has nothing to do with God saying, I trust you. I trust you being sick to praise me where someone else is going to heal. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with unhealthy diet, unhealthy lifestyle. Many, if not most, of the common sicknesses that we experience in an ongoing level in our American contemporary society are the result of unhealthy lifestyle. Many. Most. In a lot of cases. So it has nothing to do with, if I am eating in an unhealthy way, all right? If I'm eating in an unhealthy way and I'm, Lord, we rebuke the calories in Jesus' name and we turn this into healthy food, nonsense like that, right? And as a result of it, I'm getting heart disease. That's not God trusting me. That's not God saying, hey, one day you're going to be healed, but right now you're not. No, that is me abusing the temple that God gave me. This is me abusing the body that he so fearfully and wonderfully made. And many others are sick because they've never pursued God for healing, right? You have not because you ask not, Jacob, James, the fourth chapter. And many times we have never sought to cultivate faith for healing. Now, if I pray for someone and they're not healed, if there's unbelief, I say it's mine. That's my assumption. If healing comes by faith, James, Jacob, the fifth chapter, that the elders of the congregation are called, if someone's sick or they're bedridden, they're called, the prayer offered, you anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, right? So if I pray and that person is not healed, I don't say, well, it's a mystery, we don't understand God's will, because I see God's will revealed in scripture in terms of healing, right? So I don't say it's a mystery, we don't understand why. If it's a faith issue, I assume it's unbelief on my end. In other words, I'm not going to let it, you don't have enough faith. Well, maybe if I had enough faith, that's what it says in Jacob chapter 5, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. It's not talking about the sick person's faith, but the faith of people praying. So the last thing I am doing is saying, well, if you're not healed, you don't have enough faith, you just need more faith. At the same time, many of us have never pursued God for healing and never sought to build faith for healing. So to just assume if I'm sick, it's the will of God, don't just make that assumption. Some of us struggle with major sin issues in our lives. Is that the will of God? No. We'll never be perfect in this world, but we're to be overcomers. Some struggle with deep depression. Can I say from scripture that it's the will of God that you are depressed? Now, is it your fault you're depressed? No, I'm not saying that. But I could say, Lord, you told me to rejoice. I don't know how to rejoice. I can't. Help me. Help me. So there are many things that we have in this world that are bad, that are hurtful, painful, negative, but they're not necessarily the will of God. For sure, we'll suffer opposition. For sure, we'll suffer persecution for Jesus if we live rightly. And I believe personally that when Paul spoke about the thorn that was given to him, it was the severe persecution and hardship that he endured. And that was this constant battering and painful and horrific and flogged and beaten and on the sufferings that he had, and stoned and imprisoned. That's what I believe the thorn was, and other scholars agree, but either way, whatever it was, it was because of the great revelations that he had. Many of us none of us are Paul, for sure. So don't say, well, what I'm suffering is my thorn. Better to say, I don't understand why God hasn't healed me. I'm going to praise him and worship him anyway and love him and let that be my testimony in the midst of pain, in the midst of hardship. Manifest joy, manifest grace, manifest trust. And that is a testimony. That is a powerful faith testimony that even though you're not healed, you're going to praise God and worship him and love him and thank him nonetheless. Even though the person you prayed for died, you're going to praise him and thank him and love him nonetheless. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's a testimony of faith. But do not therefore conclude, well, I guess God wants me sick. I don't find scripture to support that. And I'm a word guy. I don't find scripture to support that. The last thing I would do is put it on Jesus' lips where Jesus is saying, no, because I trust you. And in fact, in the theme there in The Chosen, there are going to be so many thousands of people with healing testimonies. You can be the one who wasn't healed but still praise God. Well, today I could say it's the opposite. You have a lot more sick than healed. We need a whole lot more healing testimonies to glorify the Lord. But either way, we're going to praise him. We're going to love him. We're going to glorify him no matter what. Healed, sick, struggling, battling. We're going to praise him and worship him nonetheless. Amen and amen to Nick and Dallas and others for saying that. Absolute gospel truth. However, let's not construct a theology and let's not put it on the lips of Jesus when it's contrary to the revelation of Jesus in Scripture and contrary to the overall testimony of Scripture. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. We go to the phones. We will start with Alberto in Georgia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Yeah, my question is on Mark 7:33, where Jesus, you know, he puts his fingers in the guy's ear and he spit, and he put his finger in the tongue. Is that a Jewish practice that Jesus puts his finger in his own tongue or the other guy's tongue?
Right, so first, it was not a Jewish practice in terms of this is a common thing to do. A spit was associated with healing, but magicians used it as well. Pagan deities were said to have the spittle of life. So this was not a typical Jewish way of healing. Spittle, again, was thought of in certain circles as having healing powers, but magicians were known to use spittle. This was Jesus doing what he did and simply doing it his way. So he put his fingers into his ears, meaning the man's ears, and after spitting, then he touches the man's tongue. So does it mean he spat on the ground, or does it mean he spat on his hand, which is more likely, and then touched his hand to the man's tongue? This would be similar to Jesus in John 9, healing the man who was born blind, and taking dirt, spitting on it, and then putting it on the man's eyes. So again, spittle could be used medicinally, but it was also thought of as a practice that magicians used. That's why some critics would say Jesus was acting like a magician. When I was writing my doctoral dissertation on the Hebrew word for healing and looking at healing deities, different gods in the ancient world that were associated with healing, I believe it was said of Marduk, God of the Babylonians, that he had the spittle of life. So you could, if this was and Alberto, you're asking a broader question, but if this had been today and one of us was directed to heal like this, the critics would be saying, that's of the devil, that's not of God, that's what pagan deities were associated with, that's what magicians were associated with. None of that mattered to Jesus. That's how he did it. Why did he choose to do it in that way? That's a mystery. In other words, we don't know. We don't know why, except that he healed in many different ways. For example, sometimes he just spoke the word, like John 4 or Matthew 8. He just spoke the word, and the person in question wasn't even there, and they were healed. Sometimes he drove demons out of people, and then they could either hear or speak after that. In Luke 13, he pronounces this woman free who's been crippled by Satan for 18 years, and then he lays hands on her and she's healed. And I think a reason for that, Alberto, and many feel this way, is that he did it in many different ways so that we would not just try to find a method. Oh, you have to do it like this, or you have to do it like that. Rather, this is what he saw the Father doing, and therefore he did it in this particular way. It is very interesting to see that's what he chose to do. And then he says the word in Aramaic, ephatcha, which is be opened. And in fact, there's a call, Alex, I want to get you after the break, about the language of the New Testament. Was that Aramaic, which I understand it was? Some claim it was Hebrew. But either way, he does this, and then he says, be opened. And then his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. So the key thing is for us to believe in healing as Jesus taught it and demonstrated it, to believe in the power and the anointing of the Spirit, to seek time with God.